Now you get me reading when I'm playing, when nobody else has volunteered. I'm always happy to read, but I'm always happy for other people to read as well. So this morning we have two readings. The first is from Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And our second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God for his word.
Let us pray. Father God, as we come now to think about your word, we ask simply that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will give us insight into its meaning for each one of us at a personal level. Father, breathe through your word, we pray, and bring Jesus closer, and bring us closer to him, we ask. Through our Saviour Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Well, I've had some dire warnings about the service this morning from Alison and from my wife. She said, "The sermon is to be no more than 45 minutes. Is that right? Yes? Right. No, it won't. I want to speak this morning, strangely, about the four alls. Now, you know all about the four alls, don't you? We've had, when we were living here, we had many great church meals at the four alls. But the I'm not going to preach a sermon on that pub between here and Hinstock, but rather on the four alls that we find at the end of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28, in what we call the Great Commission, you know, that time when Jesus sent out his disciples. We're all used to the, I guess, to some extent, to the Latin word omni, which means all. We use it frequently, that we say that God is omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, and he's omniscient, he's all-knowing. What we're less familiar with is the Greek word, I think pronounced pesas. It's New Testament Greek, so you can't get a translation from Monday books or anything. And that's the word that is used either on its own or as a compound with other things by Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. It says four things. He says, first of all authority has been given to me. Then he says, go to all the nations. And thirdly, he says, tell them all I have commanded you. And finally, he says, I will be with you, literally from the Greek, all the days. Translated, I think, always, is it? I can look it up, can't I? Yes, always in the NIV. So let's think about what Jesus is saying here. First of all authority is given to me. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What does that say to you about Jesus? Does it speak of gentle Jesus, meek and mild, who wouldn't say boo to a goose, who would run scared from anything and everything? The people of his day recognized his authority. They said, no man ever spoke like this man, because he teaches us, he speaks with authority and not as one of the scribes. What did they do? Oh, they read up, they listened to old teachers, and then they put simply spewed it up. And Jesus wasn't like that. He brought new teaching, a new relationship with God. He proclaimed a new relationship. He proclaimed new life. The people of his day recognized that. Scribes didn't, nor did the Pharisees. The high priest didn't either. But I tell you who did, or what did. The demons, the devils, they recognized the authority of Jesus, and they were subject to the authority of Jesus. When Jesus cast demons out of a person, they sure enough recognized his authority. Recall when I think it was Paul on Cyprus. I might have got the name of the country wrong. When someone tried to emulate Paul in casting out a demon, and he said, in the name of Jesus, and the demon turned around and said to him, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? Jesus had authority in his teaching, in his lordship over demons, over sickness, over death, over sin, over the whole of life. The people said of him, with authority, he commands even the demons. And they recognized his authority by what he did and by what he said. And he has authority to judge. This is a bit scary, isn't it? In John chapter 2, we read, God has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of God. Pilate was presumptuous enough to judge Jesus. What did Jesus say to him? I tell you what, Pilate, your authority comes from someone who gave it to you. In Pilate's case, it was either Caesar or the Senate. Pilate had no authority in himself. Jesus had and has authority in himself. What did Paul say in our reading from Philippians? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee shall bow. Every knee will bow. Jesus has the final authority. Jesus is the final authority. And then Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. In the Old Testament, the prophets spoke about God being the Lord of all people. And that was a real departure for the Jews. They would say, oh, hang on a minute. No way. Not God of those Gentiles. Not Lord of them. God is a national God. God is a parochial God. Sometimes we treat him like that even now. Oh, God couldn't be in that because he's here. And the revelation given to the prophets was that God would gather all nations to himself. What does that mean? The Jews and the Gentiles. I'm glad that's true because I'm a Gentile. I guess most of you are. I don't know of any Christian Jews here. I'm a Gentile, so are most, probably all of you. I'm glad that God is my God, my Lord, and he gathers all the nations to himself. And what's remarkable to me is that God has chosen us, you and me, to take the gospel of saving grace to all people. That's what Jesus said. Go and make disciples of what? Oh, just the odd one or two? You know that bloke down the road? He's worthy. Go and speak to him. That woman up the road, ooh, not her. She's beyond the pale. God says, or Jesus said here, go and make disciples of all nations, of all the people. We can never, ever judge anybody to be outside of the ambit of God's love. We can never do that. We can never look at somebody and say, oh, well, actually, they're pretty well off. They're living a comfortable life. They don't need Jesus. We can never look at somebody who, for example, follows Islam and say, oh, well, all roads lead to God. No, they don't. So we don't need to bother about them. They need Jesus just as much as you need Jesus and I need Jesus. There is nobody beyond the pale. None is excluded. None is counted unworthy. God's desire is that all should be saved. And let me point up here, there's a difference between saying all should be saved and saying all will be saved. If you want to explore that further, have a word with me afterwards, have a word with Ruth or somebody in the church that you trust. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. His advice to Timothy was this: preach the gospel at all times. In season, he says, and out of season. Keep on proclaiming the gospel. How are you going to do that? By living it out. By living it out. By modeling Jesus to those whom you meet from day to day. Those within your family. Those within your workplace. Those with whom you mix in Festival Drayton on Market Day on Wednesday. Wherever you find yourself, model Jesus. Show his love. Show his grace. And then he says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. In my Greek New Testament, which is, it's Greek on the top line, by the way, and then the translation underneath, just in case you think I'm really clever. I'm not. It says, all I have commanded you. Now, in the Old Testament, we have a load of commands. We have the Ten Commandments, and we have a load of stuff around the Mosaic Law. And we find them largely negative, if we're honest, and difficult to obey. And then we look at the New Testament, and we discover that here we're not under law, we're under grace. that grace is what is overriding, overarching our lives. That we have the free grace of God shown in Jesus. And if you think that lets you off, you could not be more wrong. Because what does Jesus say here? Teaching them all I have commanded you. Two commandments that Jesus gave in the New Testament. Love God, love your neighbor. But it's not just casual. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything that you have. And love your neighbor as yourself. And everything else about the Christian life really flows from that, doesn't it? The way we live our lives really flows from those two commandments. We were talking, Mary and I, to one of the waitresses in a coffee shop that we frequent in Shrewsbury. And we asked about a young woman who used to work there. And our friend, the waitress, said, she's been dismissed. I said, why? She was found with her hand in the till. But you see, what was significant was what she said afterwards. I don't like telling people, because we all felt let down. Because we're all friends, and they are friends. You know, it's a really friendly place. I'll take you there if you come to Shrewsbury sometime. We're all friends together and a close-knit group. Why do they feel let down? Because one of their party, if you like, one of their group had betrayed them. Somebody, as it were, had not loved their neighbor as they loved themselves. And then all the days. This is perhaps the best promise of all. The psalmist asks rhetorically, where shall I go from your presence? Where shall I flee from you? If I go to the highest heaven, you're there. The deepest deep, you're there. The dark, the light, you're everywhere. And the great thing is for us that Jesus is with us all the days, not just all the days of our lives, but beyond that. Beyond that. We were talking to some friends yesterday and we heard of the death of somebody. And I said, well, at last he's got a permanent home. He's a serial mover. Mind you, you might think that about us. We have a home in glory. Jesus is with us all the time. Whatever we're going through, whatever we're feeling, Jesus is there, caring, loving, supporting. How do we know this to be true? Because he's promised. If you can't rely on the promises of Jesus, whose promises can you rely on? I am with you all the days, every day, every time, every year. Whatever you're going through, I'm there with you. And I've got a fifth all. You know what Jesus wants from you and from me? He wants our all. He wants us to be wholly committed to him. He's not satisfied with less than all of our lives. He wants our ambitions, our hopes, our fears, the good stuff, the bad stuff. Jesus wants us to give it all to him. And to give all that we are in glad surrender to him. Why? I tell you what, he gave his all for you and for me. Let's sing, All to Jesus I Surrender.